Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
LeBron with 24, and played a little defense. Cavs got a win. Jim Rosenhaus in for Mike. Sports coming up in 3 minutes. Valentine's Day will be here before you know it. 1st of February, but we're thinking love and deals. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's Ways to Save is in. Okay, everybody loves chocolate, and Belgian chocolate, a great name, but I don't think of the bee in Belgium with the bee in bargain, but you've come across something, though, huh?
I think that's a fair assessment, and I know some people are thinking, oh, well, it's not quite Valentine's Day. Well, listen. The price drops for Valentine's Day occur 2 weeks before Valentine's Day if you're lucky to see them. That means using the right links and someone like me hopefully guiding you to where you need to go. Next week, we see the price hikes, and then for the week of Valentine's Day itself, you're paying full price. You're paying up to $20 in delivery, and you're not getting anything like what I found.
So this week's kind of the week you pay what you normally would pay, and then they start increasing as you get closer then, huh?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, with the deal that I found today, you're getting not some convenience store or grocery store or pharmacy random chocolate. Like, just remember, your significant other can detect when you've put thought into a chocolate gift.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
Or when you just grabbed that Hershey Kisses teddy bear while you're buying shaving cream.
Yep.
So I just want to make it clear that if you are looking, and if you don't have a sweetheart or you have a sweet tooth, some of the flavors included today, and again, we've had a chance to sample these with some chefs around Northeast Ohio and across the country. You get organic, fair trade Belgian chocolate. We're talking coconut with toasted almonds, dark, spicy, chili, vanilla, cinnamon, pistachios, almonds, walnuts, sea salt, caramel, toffee, sesame seeds, all these really cool flavors. Mm. You're getting at least $50 worth of chocolate for about $29.99 with that free delivery. And if you want to look at the flavors, see our unboxing or hear from a chocolate expert, which is actually a thing.
I love the video.
WTAM, yeah. Pardon me.
I love the video. Yeah, the expert up there.
He's good. He sort of blamed me for making me his Valentine Day, but you know what? I'm sorry. You send a guy chocolate. Sometimes they just need to test it. WTAM.com, keyword save, and you can see that video that Bill's talking about.
Granite's done the sweet work. You check it out, you get a sweet deal. WTAM.com, keyword save, and tomorrow we'll help you stay fit with some digital stuff. Granite, thanks. Have a good day.
Awesome.
Jim Rosenhaus in for Mike Snyder. I think going into the game last night, if the Cavs were, they were either 29th or 30th in defense. They just have not played a lot of it this year at all.
Well, that changed last night for sure down at the Q as the Cavaliers edged Miami 91-89. This was a night after they gave up 125 to the Pistons, which has been happening with great regularity for a while now. But 91-89 was the final, a win for the Cavaliers. And LeBron James says the win was nice, but how it was done was even better.
No, I think it's a better way to reword that one. Kind of, it's good to win a game on the defensive side. You know, one thing you can't do is control when the ball goes in and out, or if it goes in for you. I think offensively we're executing. The ball just wasn't going our way. We had some great looks, but I mean, to win a game on the defensive side, and you know, after our, you know, the struggles that we've had, you know, that's pretty impressive. And versus this team who's had, you know, one of the best records in the NBA in January, it's a big win for us.
Offensively, James led the way with 24 points, and Jay Crowder hit the key three-pointer that put the Cavaliers ahead for good with a minute 21 left. So the Cavaliers finish a roller coaster January with a 6-8 record, but they've won three of their last four. But they now move on without All-Star Kevin Love, so we'll see what pans out here. He's out for 6 weeks with that broken finger. Last night, the first game he missed. Getting closer to the Super Bowl. It's coming up on Sunday, and the Eagles began their Super Bowl week practices in suburban Minneapolis. And for their head coach, Doug Peterson, it was a good day all around.
It's a great day, not only because of my birthday. You know, my wife is here, and my family will be in here later in the week. And to be able to celebrate this with them and, you know, with the team and to be in this game, obviously, is an honor. If somehow we can pull out a victory, that would be the icing on the cake, as they say.
And, of course, unseating the defending champion New England Patriots will not be easy. New England is hoping to have tight end Rob Gronkowski back on the field, but at least yesterday he was still in the NFL's concussion protocol. So things still moving forward for him, but they're not saying officially that he'll be able to play. College hoops top 25 winners included number 2 Virginia over Louisville. Number 3 Purdue made it 18 straight wins. They defeated Maryland. And number 5 Michigan State was a come from behind winner over Penn State. And some baseball news, sad news, former Cleveland Indian outfielder Oscar Gamble passed away yesterday of a rare tumor in his jaw. Gamble played 17 seasons in the big leagues, hit 200 home runs. Three of those years came early in his career with the Tri back in the mid-70s. Solid outfielder for them. And if there was an all-hair team, Oscar Gamble would have made it. He had that great afro that stuck out underneath his helmet. He might be the MVP on that team. With sports at 15 and 45, this is Jim Rosenhaus, News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Cavs, Tribe, and best team coverage of the Browns.
News Radio WTAM 1100, this is Bill Wills, Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad with us. Let's go shopping, TV. Morning, Derek, how are you?
Morning, Bill.
Let's talk about a couple things with the big game in mind. Traditionally, a week, a lot of people think about a new television and a new TV for a new TV experience. And Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, with a couple of tips on creating a winning big game viewing experience. Just in general terms, when it comes to shopping for a TV, I mean, forget the technology just for a minute. I guess size is the first question. How big do you want to go, huh?
Absolutely. You know, people walk into our Best Buy stores, go to the back there where we have all of the TVs on display, and immediately are drawn to those big TVs across the back walls. Really bigger usually is better, but you also have to remember, the bigger you go, the more immersive that experience is going to be. The good news, though, is that you really can't go too big in terms of the TV itself. With some of the older TV technologies, if you sat really close to the screen, you'd see the little dots, and you know it wasn't exactly the best viewing experience. But with 4K and that crystal clear picture quality, it allows you to sit close to that screen without it getting blurry. That means you can go bigger even in smaller rooms or apartments. But that said, it's still important to kind of consider that design of your room. You want to make sure that, you know, your TV isn't really the only thing that draws attention to the room if the design and setup of your room is important. For example, you know, some people will have a really nice fireplace that's kind of supposed to be the focal point of the room, but now they have a 75-inch TV above it, and it really becomes then the focal point. And that's kind of a big no-no these days in terms of budget. So, again, you know, you want to kind of make sure that screen is kind of fitting into the design of the room that you actually have.
Good points. Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad, with me. A couple tips on making sure it's a great experience whenever you're in front of the TV or you got people over. So besides layout, let's talk about hearing. And maybe you recently did purchase a newer big screen, if you will. Maybe the big game's a good excuse to increase the hearing, the ability to really experience it, right?
Sure, really, you know, especially with things like games, that audio is really what's going to pull you into that experience. A lot of people love to add a sound bar to their TV. Sound bars are a really great way to have to enhance your surround sound experience without having a whole bunch of equipment. They're easy. You put it right underneath the TV. Some of them will even connect up wirelessly. Usually they'll include a separate subwoofer, again, that can a lot of times will connect wirelessly as well. They're great for more convenience, but if you really want that full surround sound feel, you are going to want to look at a component audio system, what people consider a traditional home theater system with the speakers that surround you. And that's really going to take your audio for the game to that next level. It's going to allow you to hear that play-by-play over all the background noise in a house full of people. And also just having that dedicated center channel, which is usually dedicated to dialogue, it's going to be really important when you're watching that game because it's going to give you that clarity and bigger and fuller sound, especially for, you know, listening to calls and kind of explanations of what's going on.
Hey, finally, Derek, have you figured out how to have Alexa get me more guacamole or chips?
Not quite.
Okay.
But you can use your Alexa or your Google Home or Amazon Echo to do things that, like adjusting your lights, start your favorite music playlist while you're waiting to get ready for the game. It's kind of neat, the smart home stuff. You can switch the lighting based on what's happening on the field. You know, get your lights to go green when Philadelphia has the ball, for example. Switch to red when the team enters the red zone. Have them flash when somebody scores, just like, you know, fireworks going off in the room. It's just really a great way to kind of get that feel to the game and get you really into that whole experience. Bring it from within the TV into your actual living room.
Good tips, Agent Derek Meister, the Geek Squad. Follow him on Twitter, Agent3012. He'll tweet out some of the links of the things we're talking about. And of course, you can get help at your nearby Best Buy when it comes to adding a sound bar, whatever it may be. Derek, thanks for the tips. Thank you, and enjoy the game, too.
Thank you.
The investigation is still underway into exactly what happened. The NTSB is on the scene and did have a news conference last night and said that they're looking at a possibility of the backgrounds of everyone. They're looking at who was exactly controlling both the train and that garbage truck and whether they might have been distracted or under the influence. There's been some of these kind of allegations that perhaps this was some sort of deliberate act. So there was a question about whether the signaling could have been hacked, perhaps. And the NTSB official says if there's any indication of that, it's going to get handed over to the FBI. But they say so far it's not exactly clear why the truck was on the track. Apparently, this is somewhat of a dangerous intersection where the road crosses the track, and there have been incidents in the past here. So that's what it looks like. They're just going to have to look into what happened. There was a passenger in the truck who was killed, about six other people injured, including one congressman from Minnesota was hospitalized. He's now been released. He had been suffering from a concussion. So the retreat is underway. The president's due in West Virginia later on today for the lunch. They're talking policy, strategy for 2018, for the midterm elections, and so forth. So they're moving forward with everything despite this event.
I saw a quote from one of the congressmen on board who was also at that softball baseball practice last summer when that shooting occurred. And it was interesting because, right away he said he thought, uh-oh, we're under attack. Did somebody stop the train? And almost like a movie scene. So, there is concern.
Yeah. There is. And, I think you might be talking about Brad Wenstrup from Ohio, who he's an old Army combat medic. And he was in Alexandria in the summertime helping with Steve Scalise from Louisiana, who was so badly wounded. Same with Arizona Senator Jeff Flakes. He you can see him in the pictures there helping people. They were all, obviously so shook up, and they'd, have to go through another experience like this following last summer's shooting in Alexandria at the softball game. GOP members shaken up, but, they're talking like they're looking forward now and concentrating on policies and so forth.
All right, investigation will continue on why that truck was sitting there. Trump, as you say, will be at the Greenbrier today to speak to him. Our Sharon Reed. Thanks, Sharon.
You got it. Have a good day.
Vice President Pence at the Greenbrier last night, and he was ripping into West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. A lot of people thought Manchin may switch over to be a Republican. I don't know about now.
Senator Joe Manchin has voted no time and again on the policies that West Virginia needs. When the time came to repeal and replace the disaster of Obamacare, Joe voted no. When we empowered West Virginia to defund Planned Parenthood, Joe voted no. And when it comes to that wall that we're gonna build on the southern border, Joe said, quote, well, I'm not voting for the wall either.
I think we got the theme. Okay. By the way, President Trump's approval rating up on an upswing. According to a Mama survey this morning, Trump's approval number at 42%. That's 10 points higher than it was at the end of 2017. And that was before the State of the Union address that's been getting some awfully good reviews. Meanwhile, we've got some trouble trying to get an ambassador into South Korea. Our Bill Zimfer on that story this morning. Bill?
Yeah, we have not had an ambassador to South Korea for over a year now, Bill, and we're beginning to find out why. It turns out that the original choice of the Trump administration, Victor Cha, who is a veteran diplomat and one of the professors at Georgetown University School of Foreign Service, was the choice. And after months of vetting and background checks and financial checks on him, the word came out that Victor Cha was opposed to some of the policies of the Trump administration, namely did not like the idea of a limited strike against North Korea, also disagreed with threats to ditch the trade deal with South Korea, so the Trump administration pulled the plug. This after they had already informed South Korea that Victor Cha was the choice. They were ecstatic about that and wanted Victor Cha to be in place by the time the Olympic Games came around, but he will not be submitted for nomination now, that word from the White House, and no word on who might be. So we continue to be without an ambassador in South Korea at a critical time when relations with South Korea and North Korea are at a stage that that might be on the brink of another crisis.
Some embarrassment for the administration with the vetting process. I mean, look, you've got to fill all these posts around the world, and South Korea, this has become a much more high-profile post for obvious reasons.
Absolutely. And there is no word on who might be able to take that spot now. Victor Cha, who served in a similar role, not as ambassador, but was part of the diplomatic team under the Bush administration to South Korea, would be a logical choice here. Mark Knapper continues to be the head man in the office there in South Korea, but he continues to act just as a chargé d'affaires, meaning that he's just a placeholder until another ambassador can get there. A little embarrassing.
Interesting. All right, our Bill Zimper on the story. Bill, thanks.
You're welcome, Bill.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joins us. A couple different beer, wines, some different stories when it comes to entertainment and getting out. Morning, Mark.
Hey, Bill.
A couple things here I want to work in. You can read more at Cleveland.com and in the Plain Dealer. Mark Bona covers a bunch of stuff. Let's talk Grapes Under Glass wine event. It's coming up in April. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, this was an event that started last year. It's an arrangement, really a partnership with Metropolitan at the Nine and Heinen's downtown. So it's right over at Euclid Avenue and East 9th Street. This is in the Rotunda, so it's a great location. You know, for anyone who hasn't seen that grocery store, it's really a cool place.
Oh, yeah.
The upstairs floors are all the beer and the wine departments. Well, last year, Ed Tompkins, who has created quite a few wine events over the years, and a lot of beer collaborations as well, came up with Grapes Under Glass. This is a multi-day wine event. Started last year. They had enough success with this to want to bring it back for a second year. The neat thing about it, the unique factor of this particular fest, it's not just a typical wine event. In addition to having educational seminars, in addition to dinners, they bring in winemakers. And this is actually interesting because winemakers at heart are really just farmers. And they're busy in the fall. They're busy in the summer. They're leading up into the harvest, into the crush. They don't get out to a lot of these events. So a lot of the wine events that we as consumers can go to really are involved, basically involve seeing volunteers.
Good point.
Some of whom are knowledgeable,
right.
Some of whom are not. But they try hard. But now you can meet these winemakers. And Tompkins and the other organizers are really bringing in a lot of high-end wines for this event.
Mm.
So they're working out the itinerary, but it's going to be structured pretty similar to last year's.
Okay.
They'll have a dinner to start off with. They'll have some high-end California wines, some really tasting ones last year. I went to one of the tastings, a lot of educational tasting seminars, and then they wind up with a champagne brunch on Sunday, the final day. So this all starts it runs the 19th through the 22nd, and it's a really fun event.
Coming up in April, Grapes Under Glass. Interesting. Mark will be sharing more week after week as we know more. Okay, now also we've got a story about fatheads and a release of Headhunter, huh?
Headhunter is one of the, really one of the most, the biggest cult classic beers. I would say it's probably one of the top 3 to 5 most popular beers in Northeast Ohio. This is an award-winning IPA, an India Pale Ale from Fatheads Brewery. Absolutely delicious year in and year out. They win on national levels. They win on local. They have a lot of popularity. The news isn't that big, but it's interesting because it shows a good response to what the consumers want. They're ramping up from 4 packs to 6 packs. So, and at $12 for a very well-made craft beer, this is not a bad price for a six-pack. I think it's pretty good. So that's the suggested retail price. Distribution of Fatheads and six-packs begins Monday, February 5th. And it's a tasty one. A lot of citrus in there. 7.5% alcohol. It's really the exact same percentage alcohol as Christmas Ale from Great Lakes Brewing Company. So it's a healthy but not over-the-top beer, just delicious. So all the Headhunter fans now have 2 extra beers to look forward to in distribution.
Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, with me talking about wine, beer, a couple different events. Final minute here. Let me get you out on something coming up for a nice benefit here. This is a Stone Soup Benefit Lunar New Year Fundraiser. Tell me about this.
Yeah, Tri-C, for those who don't know, Tri-C has really an excellent department for culinary students. And this is it's a very important department because, you know, there's so many restaurants out there, but you need a feeder system. You need a farm system, so to speak, to really train people to go into that line of work.
Sure.
And there's obviously a lot of jobs in restaurants, and it's not just just serving. So these kids are helping. They also help out with a lot of collaborations and dinners and events and competitions throughout the year. So they're going to be supporting an organization called Stone Soup CLE. This is a nonprofit food rescue service that actually was started by a Tri-C culinary instructor named Giovanna Mingrone, who founded it just a few years ago, back in 2015. And what they do is they take excess food from restaurants and stores and vendors and food that's gone for pantries, but there's excess. So if a pantry has, say, ask for 4,000 pounds of food, and they only use 3,000. Stone Soup is the rescuer, so to speak.
Gotcha.
They will come in, and they will rescue the food and get it to the people in need. So they're having a fundraising dinner. It's February 15th. It's going to be a Lunar New Year celebration dinner. There'll be a Chinese cuisine buffet. February 15th, it's right downtown at the school's Hospitality Management Center, a really nice facility over there in Public Square. And just a very, very good effort. I'm very anti-waste, and so I like when I see efforts like this. Kids are doing a good job. They're learning a lot, and this is a good chance to give back to the community.
Excellent. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com with the info. Now, let me get you out of here on a little big game pick. You told me off the air Philadelphia, so, you know, I was going to ask you maybe mention a wine or a beer. Since you're going with Philly, I'm guessing you're going with a beer because – you know, New England, I think more of wine, maybe, when I think of the Patriots.
You know, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about it this year. And I'll be working throughout the game, so I'm not – the Super Bowl is a sober night for me.
Oh, though, okay.
So
all right.
I will not be drinking, but, you know, that's interesting. I don't know. I kind of think of the Boston fans as beer drinking. I definitely think of Philadelphia fans as beer drinking. So maybe somebody out there will hoist a Yuengling since it's based in Pennsylvania.
Excellent. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, mBona30. Good info as always this week. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
Patriots and the Eagles Sunday night getting ready for the Super Bowl. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell had his State of the League address yesterday. Ryan Burrow there in Minneapolis joins us this morning. Ryan, the State of the League, and the tradition continues, of course, it seems like with the Patriots there all the time. What else did Goodell have to say? What's the scene like there in Minneapolis?
You got that right. 8 Super Bowl appearances between Mr. Tom Brady and Mr. Bill Belichick, and we're not getting a surprise. We're not getting a ton of information out of them about Rob Gronkowski's status, about any of their game plans going into the game. We don't usually get that kind of information, and we don't expect it before Sunday. The one thing we do know about Rob Gronkowski is he is going through concussion protocol, did practice in pads, but was limited in that practice. So from that perspective, that's really all we have. From the Philadelphia Eagles side, they actually practiced sitting around for a half hour, pretending like they've got a Justin Timberlake halftime show that is in between, times of play, and that's something that they've got to get used to and get into that routine. As far as the state of the league, Roger Goodell did give credit to the Patriots. We don't get the feeling that Goodell and Tom Brady get along very well, but gave them credit for their appearances. Talked a little bit about that catch-no-catch rule and about how that's something they're going to dig a little deeper into during the offseason, really trying to figure out what qualifies as a catch, what doesn't. Obviously, with instant replay, a lot of questions this year as to what constitutes a catch, what should constitute as an incomplete pass.
And when you look at, you mentioned the Patriots being there for the 8th time and back-to-back years for them. I know it sounded like you touched on parity, which you wouldn't think because of how it ends up, but I guess playoff-wise, especially this year, there is some good parity and some hope for most teams, it seems.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, anytime there's that number 12 who is an option, who, by the way, was asked plenty of times about possible retirement, thoughts of retirement, he just kind of shook him off. I mean, he's pushing 40 here and, looking maybe looking at the future, but as of right now, seems to be pretty locked in on the Super Bowl. But, yeah, had a pretty good run up to this point. Obviously, a lot of Minnesota Vikings fans here in Minnesota weren't happy with the outcome of the NFC Championship game. There have been some Vikings fans that have some ill words for the Eagles fans who are here, but you'd expect that. I think time will heal all.
And rare to have a cold weather Super Bowl. I know the game is inside, but there's so many activities surrounding the game. But it seems like people embrace the cold when it's up there in Minneapolis.
They call it the Bold North. You know, they are trying to embrace it as best as possible. It was 2 below when I walked into Mall of America this morning. That was air temperature, but I was told that it would be a comfy 72 inside. They may just be telling me that because I'm a Bears fan, but they told me it'll be warmer inside.
You got your own problems, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Get you out of here quickly on security. A lot of it, I would presume.
Yeah. Big time. I mean, we're essentially in a big bubble right now. 1,700 federal law enforcement joining 60 law enforcement agencies from across Minneapolis. You know, Minneapolis is not the size of Houston. They don't have quite the police force, so they're getting a lot of federal help. But the security checkpoints are pretty far away from the stadium. In fact, they're checking people in at Mall of America, who then can jump in a shuttle and drive the 10 miles to get to the stadium. So they will have that lockdown. They said they've got every scenario prepared for.
Ryan Burrow at the Super Bowl. Thanks, partner.
Take care.
Hey, guys.
I would note, and Rosie, I tell you, even noted this morning, they played some defense last night.
They did indeed. They held the Heat to only 43%. I mean, it's not all the time when you shoot 35% for the evening and come away with a victory. I mean, the Cavs on the night went only 6 of 26 from behind the line, usually numbers that result in a loss. But because they played some defense, particularly down the stretch, they come away with a hard-fought 91-89 victory. The Heat at the end of the ballgame, Kyle Korver missed a free throw with a couple of seconds remaining, and James Johnson had a chance to either win it with a three or send the game to overtime. Drove toward the basket, got cut off by LeBron, and simply ran out of time. So it was a stop that won it for the Cavaliers. Nice to see Jay Crowder hit a clutch three down the stretch. The shot that put the Cavaliers ahead for good. Isaiah Thomas, while he struggled pretty big time from the field, hit a couple of clutch free throws down the stretch as well. So, hey, they grinded out. The Heat came into action just a half game behind the Cavaliers. Miami wins that game. They exit Ohio in sole possession of third place. The Cavs keep the Heat at bay, pick up a victory, and hopefully look to keep it rolling into a pretty big game on Saturday against the Houston Rockets, who, oh, by the way, got a 60-point triple-double out of James Harden two days ago against Orlando. They play at San Antonio tonight before they head up to Ohio for what looks like should be a beauty on Saturday.
And John, the good defense last night, that's been an issue for the Cavaliers so often this season. What did you see as the difference last night that allowed them to hold Miami under 90?
I think the first thing, Rosie, they were running Miami off the line. I mean, the Heat in the ballgame went only 3 of 28 from behind the line. LeBron was asked about it after the game. You know, he said, was it good defense or were they just missing shots? He said it was a combination of both. But when you have guys out there around the perimeter contesting shots, I mean, of those 28, a load of them were contested, Rosie. So I think that was the number one thing for the Cavaliers. Number two is their perimeter defense was good as well. I mean, they were stopping players at the point of attack, and that's been an issue for the Cavaliers as well. You know, rebounding, the Cavs are going to have to do it by committee now with the loss of Kevin Love, and that was a pretty good sign as well that the Cavaliers were good on the boards throughout the night, and that, of course, is a big part of defense as well. They kept big Hassan Whiteside from having a huge night one evening after Andre Drummond at that same position, similar type player, was huge for the Pistons in Detroit. So I think overall we saw a number of good things out of the Cavaliers and a good sign for a team that has struggled at times on that defensive end of the floor.
And of course, it seems like there's an off-the-court story every day. The latest from ESPN's Chris Haynes. LeBron James could meet with the Warriors in the offseason.
Fake news.
Right, and you look at this and it says the Warriors don't even have the cap space to do it and all. It seems like a non-story. How do you see the team deal with this kind of stuff that just seems to be stirring up things that may not even be there?
It's funny, Rosie. We always laugh because in the 3 years before LeBron got there, you know, like a smoke bomb could have gone off in the practice facility and nobody would have known the difference. I mean, nobody would have said anything about it. And now, you know, a guy stubs his toe at practice. We walk out of the practice facility and it's already on the ticker at ESPN. I think it comes with the territory. You know what I mean? Ever since LeBron's return, it's been like this. I mean, the media's all over this team. And to me, you want to be a contender, you want to be, you know, in the mix in the NBA, this is how it's going to be. I mean, we've talked about this a number of times, but parity in the NBA don't exactly mix. I mean, you're either in the top, you know, five or six teams that actually have a legit chance, or you're not. And when you're in that mix, you get a lot of attention. And, I mean, to me, you want to be one of the haves, not the have-nots. So, hey, you just kind of, you know, grin and bear it, I guess, is part of the territory. And you shrug your shoulders and say, yeah, you know, so what? Because we're one of the teams that actually has a shot to win this thing, and we have been over the last three seasons.
Hey, John, officially getting you out of here on Kevin Love, and I say official because the Cavaliers, fractured the left hand. He's going to get a second look between some docs and the clinic, and it'll be weeks, obviously, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the understanding. They haven't put a timetable on it as of yet. They came out with the original press release the night of, had another one just last night. He continues to get it looked at and evaluated, and we should find out shortly what exactly that timetable is.
See, Rosie, stick with the press releases, Rosie. Don't be reading this other stuff
online. I don't know what happened there.
John Michael, thank you, partner.
All right, guys, take care.
Jim Jones, this time tomorrow morning, Cavs Rockets Saturday night. Sign of spring is when our buddy Bart Swain dusts off his email and sends us a note that one Tony Amano, who heads up the equipment efforts at your Cleveland Indians, is putting the finishing touches on the truck that heads to spring training. And Mr. Amano joins us on the Celebrity Hotline this morning. Hello, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing fine, although Rosie's here. So.
Yeah, I know. That's why everything's going a little slower this morning. He tends to be more part of the problem than part of the solution when it comes to bringing stuff to the truck.
Why did you tell him I'm here, Bill?
Well, I'm surprised he...
I was listening to your hockey updates before. I didn't know you were a hockey fan.
Did you like that? Mike Fisher's back.
Yeah,
Mrs. Underwood. Or Mr. Underwood.
We're back to full strength, right?
Yeah.
That's a hockey reference, Rosie, just in case you didn't know.
Thank you.
Okay. Tony, I'm surprised. You know, I'll do a week at spring training, and I know part of the facility in Goodyear is the year-round presence. I'm surprised you still have to take stuff out there.
Oh, we do. There's, you know, we get a lot of our deliveries here in beginning in January and throughout the month, and we have to take it down there. And this year they remodeled the complex, so they made it a lot bigger, and we have a lot more people going down. So, therefore, we have a lot more luggage this year than we have in the past. So there's still a need. We have two trucks. We have two semis right now going down there. So there'll always be that need.
Got a convoy, good buddy.
Yes.
Rosie has a question.
Do we have a leader yet for most unusual thing that is being placed on that truck to be shipped out there?
We don't yet. I think we're pretty just very normal this year as far as what we're taking. I mean, I would think maybe all those WTAM trunks you brought down the other day, Rosie, for the broadcast in spring might lead the way.
He's got all that stuff.
Yeah.
I would normally get my clubs down there, but I'm waiting on a delivery of a special club. And so I think I'll have Camino bring it out.
He's coming too?
Nick, yeah, well, you know, sorry. Hey, how about the scooter? Are there two scooters that the famous scooter that that we use, or is there one? Can you tell us?
I got disappointing news here. Uh-oh. We were looking at it the other day, and it takes up a lot of room on the truck because you can't build around it. So we texted Tito, and Tito said, "Just leave it in Cleveland. He's not gonna use it out there because when they go back and forth from the complex to the stadium, he generally uses a Gator or a golf cart and rides up there with Millsy, and that's always an adventure. That should be filmed sometime, or there should be a broadcast about that trip every day from the complex to the stadium with Tito and Millsy.
The Gator races, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Tony, if there's no room on the truck, can't someone just drive it out to Arizona?
You volunteering?
That'd be great. It'd take like three months to drive a scooter out to Arizona.
Be like Dumb and Dumber, those guys.
But it was okay with Terry, though, if it stays here.
Yes.
All right, that's breaking news. So you did give us, we're members of the media, you have to give us something. So that's a good story, I like that.
Yeah, this is the first time we haven't taken it. So we just followed up, and we usually took it out there, and we just sit there. So we just said, do you really need this tea? And he said, no.
Leave it here. All right. Did you change oil and all that stuff over the winter? I mean,
I'll leave it up to Brandon. Brandon works in a clubhouse, and that's his baby. So
there is protocol.
There is protocol.
All right, Tony Amato, you guys are getting ready to leave. What's it take, 3-4 days to get out there?
Yeah, they changed a couple laws, so when guys are actually loading, that's what we're doing today earlier this year, so when guys are loading, that counts as their driving time, so just to be safe, we are going to shoot for a Tuesday morning delivery in Goodyear. So.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Yancey out there will let us know when the truck arrives, right?
I'm sure.
I'll watch social media for said arrival.
Yes.
Tony?
Look forward to seeing you guys both out there.
Tony, thanks, partner. Good to talk to you, and we appreciate it.
Great talking to you.
See you in a couple
guys.
Weeks. Tony Amato, equipment manager for your Cleveland Indians, as the truck is getting ready to roll west, young man. And 2 weeks, pitchers and catchers. Right, Rosie?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.